What is going on, everyone? This is the Double M Show, where the urban life and sports collide. We're welcoming back Mike Nice, man. He wasn't here with us last week, but we missed you.
Happy to be back, man. I miss y'all too. Miss y'all.
And of course, we got the lovely T-Mac with us as always.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
And, you know, it's me, DJ Mies. And we got a great show for us. We're excited for this one. Episode lucky number 7.
Lucky 7, huh?
Lucky number 7. T-Mac.
Spicy 7.
T-Mac.
All right. Today's heavy hitters. We got R. Kelly and his amazing acting skills. And then we have Conor McGregor, Life After a Lost. That's what I want to title that
one.
And then we're going to move on to Russell Westbrook and his dispute with Utah Jazz fans yet again. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, certainly our beloved Celtics. Kyrie has come forward. He has admitted he was wrong. And we're going to touch base on, you know, where the Celtics are heading next. Y'all ready?
I'm ready, man.
Let's get into it. I miss it. Conversating with
Mike's
you guys.
So
I watched the show last week, and I'm like, I want to be there. But
Mike was all in the comments.
All right.
He's so excited for today. All right, let's kick it off. R. Kelly.
So we all know
R. Kelly went and did his own interview. Not only did R. Kelly do his own interview, but he also had his two girlfriends participate in an interview.
Yes.
Now, this is where I understand him, okay? He wants to defend himself. He wants to try to appeal back to, you know, the crowd, get some sympathy. However, if you know you are being looked at for all these things that are clearly abnormal, clearly frowned upon, clearly weird in some instances with some of the things that are brought up, why wouldn't you just say, you know what, ladies, yes, you're both my girlfriends, but let's just have one of you do the interview. I wouldn't have two girlfriends go and sit on an interview like, yeah, we're both his girlfriends. When you know you're in a situation where people think you have a cult and you have all these girls living in the house against their will, and here you are, you bring two girlfriends, you allow this. It doesn't make sense to me. The whole thing is just a contradiction, because here he is crying in his interview like, does that make sense? And then you have two girlfriends. Does that make sense?
This is my first gripe with the whole situation, the whole interview. She asked some solid questions. I know I talked to some friends who tell me she didn't ask the right questions. I feel like she did a solid job. I know sometimes... Gail King. And I know sometimes with these high-profile interviews, you know,
It's a lot of pressure.
Before they even go on camera, you know, the superstar or the publicist, whoever, says, like, look, you can't touch these subjects in the interview.
And they do it anyway.
You can't bring up these things. I think they have that conversation before. But she asked some solid questions. And some of the questions she asked, his only response was, I beat my case. But I beat my case, though. I beat my case.
Right, he couldn't.
Did you do this, Robert? It don't matter if I beat my case.
It does matter.
That's all he was saying. And a couple times, his answer just was straight, I beat my case. Did you do these things in your past, Robert? Don't matter if I did them. I beat my case. How does that look to the public eye if your only answer to, did you do X, Y, and Z is, I beat my case, so it doesn't matter.
Not only that, but besides Robert's interview, when the interview came about with the two girlfriends, they were very hostile.
Oh, they were disrespectful.
They were tough.
They needed a spanking or something.
And it's like, if you guys have nothing to hide.
It was rude to Gail King.
I didn't appreciate it.
Mike, what are we talking about?
Mike.
Listen, I feel as though if you have nothing to hide, where's all this hostility coming from? Like, why are you so hostile towards someone who has nothing to do with the situation, who is simply there to let you tell your truth? Why are you taking your anger out on someone there to help you speak your thoughts and your mind, get your side of the story out? That doesn't make sense to me.
There's a lot of things that don't make sense about this R. Kelly and his girlfriends coming out. First and foremost, can I just say, that was one of the most entertaining things I've seen.
Oh yeah, I think everyone got a lot of laughs. There was a ton of memes.
A lot. There's been a lot of memes. You know, SNL spoofed it, and SNL spoof wasn't even funny to me. I didn't laugh one time. I thought the original interview with R. Kelly was funnier than any spoof you can ever do. The meme that we always talk about is the hog tie. Why would a hog die? I don't know how to hog tie anyone. Hog tie people. Yo, that right there.
No, 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 no. The best take one. Me out. Was when, you know, you splurge over the weekend and you call your bank like, does that make sense? Why would I do that?
He gave out so many quotable, and the reason it's funny because he's a liar. He's flat out lying to the public, and
he was trying to defend himself,
trying to divert from the questions, like Mike was saying, I beat the case and everything like that, and just it's becoming sad. It's becoming a parody with the girls that you mentioned. Gail King, after the interview, she spoke and she was like, R. Kelly was there. He was behind them, and he was coughing so that, you know, they knew he was watching and things like that. So
the whole situation is
he's a sick bastard, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. And now that you hear there's another sex video out from this guy that could be released, and I don't know where to go from.
Another part that, you know, like you just said, he's a liar. One part that really stuck out to me was the fact that, you know, the family and R. Kelly and the girls are all pretty much going back and forth, calling each other a liar. The girls saying the parents set them up to go be with him.
Yeah.
You know, R. Kelly saying the girls were brought to him. When he said that part, that the parents brought these girls to me, and they brought them to his concert and put them on stage.
To do sexual acts.
He was basically trying to say for himself, it's not my fault that I was with these underage women or young girls. They were brought to me. My thing is, whether they were brought to you or not, why in your mind would you still say, just because these parents brought these girls to me, it's still okay for them to be with me or come sleep with me or go on stage with me? Don't just say, it's not my fault. The parents gave these 17 to 18 year old girls to me. I didn't do anything. It's not my fault. Are you stupid?
As a grown man, right is right. 49, 50 is wrong. Years old.
He's an older man who likes younger women.
Older man, younger woman. All women.
You two are crazy. You know, as a grown man, you are not supposed to be doing what you were doing. Regardless of who brought them to you, if the girls said this, if they said it was okay, it doesn't matter. You know right from wrong. And for you to be now on this interview, I feel like he was, you know, trying to get some sympathy. He was really, the emotion, he was trying, he was literally pleading for people to believe him again. You know, he was just, it was like he was on trial already. Like, that is how I picture him on trial. Is the tears, the emotion, like crying for like to be forgiven for this yet again.
I mean, what do you guys think? Let me get your opinion. What do you feel, R. Kelly? Yes, you said sympathy, but like, do you feel he was trying to get anything else out of being interviewed by Gail King and going on with the waterworks and pleading his innocence to say he didn't do anything? What do you think he was trying to do for himself, his career, even though you're saying it's not about my career, he wants his life back, his kids, all he kept saying to my kids is watching this. What do you think he wanted out of all that transpired with the interview with himself, his girlfriends, whatever the case
is? I think he was trying to get ahead of it. He was trying to get ahead of it because he knows he's going down. So he's doing everything that he can to try to save himself. And that means putting himself on camera, putting two girls to, you know, defend him on camera. He would put anybody who he thinks the public and the media would believe on his behalf. He's
going to
get anybody to speak on his behalf.
Right. So R. Kelly thinks he's slick.
Sure
he
does.
He thinks, quote unquote, thinks he's slick. Because right now, technically, for what we know, he's not doing anything illegal. He has two girlfriends who are of age.
Again, so unnormal.
So that right there is what he's trying to put out to the world.
Look, these two girlfriends. I have two girlfriends.
They're of age. They're happy to live with me. Everything's okay. I want you guys to leave me alone. But that's not what we're attacking R. Kelly for right now. It's all the past transactions that he's done with underage women, 14, 15-year-old girls that had a sex call or he's had sexual acts with. And all of those things are sick and he needs to be put away in jail for a long time. For a very long time. That's what the case on R. Kelly is. It's not about you have two girlfriends who are consent with stuff like that, who have not seen their parents since they were 17 years old. It's just a mess.
I have a question for you guys. Do you think that after the reaction he got from this interview that he will conduct another interview at some point before going to trial?
What more can he really say other than, you know, pleading his innocence? I don't think another interview can really do anything in his favor. I think I think smart people, whether they watch the interview or not, you know, I think they've made their decision on how they feel about R. Kelly.
Right.
Obviously, the documentary, the docuseries that came out about him, he wasn't really in it to, you know, plead his case or his innocence. But just the fact that you had so many people around him saying pretty much the same stuff, and according to R. Kelly, everybody lied. Every single person they interviewed in that docuseries is a liar, and they want money from him, and that's all it's about.
But he has no more money.
Yeah, because
people
keep taking money from him. That's all they keep saying. People keep taking money. He went to Bank of America for the first time, checks accounts. Never been to a bank before in his life. A lot of stuff is going on in R. Kelly's life, and I just feel that as if whatever's going to happen to him through, you know, the courts and law and whatnot, it's going to happen, and he just has to accept it. And I'm feeling like you said, throw him in the back of the jail cell. Not for what he's doing now. Obviously, what he's doing now is probably technically fine. He's still 50 years old with a 21 and 23-year-old, which is pretty weird to most people.
Marv, what do you think? You think he'll conduct another interview after Marv will, you know, head to the comments?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's smart. I mean, I don't know what R. Kelly and his team thinks. I don't know if they think this was a plus or a negative. Through
this is definitely a setback. Look at all the memes.
For us, we think it's a setback. But then again, every time he goes to jail for, you know, not paying child support, there's a fan paying his his bail.
That's absurd.
So, you know, one way or another, whatever R. Kelly's doing is working for him. Do I think he will do another interview? No, I don't think so. I think now he said everything he can say. You know, he had the platform to ignore Gayle King and yell out, scream, be absurd as all the things he wanted to say. Now it's time to just wait.
He should have been calm. He should have been calm, cool, and collected. He should have never let his... I think he will do another interview. And the reason being is because he has nothing to lose at this point. So I think he's desperate. And he'll do it again. Samuel in our comments, R. Kelly knows black people love to forgive. He's trying to gain sympathy and change his perception to black people who might still love his music. He thought this interview was calculated and smart. What do you guys think? Agree? Disagree?
I mean, yeah, he probably felt he was doing the right thing with having this interview and pleading his innocence, again, crying, going on, standing up. Having people really try, because he said it, he doesn't really want people to think about his music. It's not about his music. It's about him and his life and his family and whatnot. So Sam's right. He's just looking for sympathy at this point. There's nothing more that can be done other than have people sympathize for him.
Frank also says in the comments, he should have stayed calm. You know what? I agree. I think instead of giving such a loud and like abrupt, like emotional, like appeal to the audience, I think he should do like a calm, subtle, like teardrop from the face, you know? If he just was like a little bit calmer about it, it wouldn't. I don't think the memes would have been made regardless. But how he went off, it just
and
went left.
With him being aggressive and things like that, you know, some of his victims have come out and said that reminded them of how he acts. That's how he is. He gets aggressive. He starts yelling. Because if you look at it again, you know, he got really close to Gayle. Not saying he was going to hit her or anything like that, but
she couldn't
really
even get any words out.
She couldn't, and he would.
In either of the interviews, she couldn't even ask a question without being cut off. And then one of the girls told her, "Okay, next question." Like they were running the interview.
They were trying to control the narrative. You know, what I believe with the girl's situation, they told him, "Hey, this is how you should act. This is how you do control. If it goes left, bring it back right. Control the narrative." And the same thing with R. Kelly. They're gonna ask you some questions. Flip it. Bring it to this. Talk about how you know you've never done this to these girls that. Your relationship with your kids, bring up your kids, you know, all these things for, like you mentioned, sympathy.
Right. I agree.
And in the comments, our man Zara is saying it's the emotion is what helps with sympathy, and that if he didn't explode, there would be no reliability to the reason for empathy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if he didn't go off like that, people would just be like, well, maybe he doesn't really care. It doesn't mean anything to him. But maybe in his eyes and his whole circle around him, they're like, if you really show how passionate you are about you not doing
about
anything to these girls, exactly, maybe it'll really touch people like, wow, he's really... But me, I don't believe nothing he said. That's just me. I don't believe anything R. Kelly
said. Well, we hope justice really is served this time and he doesn't get away with it. But let's move on to Conor McGregor. Life after a loss. You like that?
Life after
a
loss. Explain that some more. You gotta explain that some more. Life after a loss.
Let me explain. Because we all know, August 26th, back in 2017, big fight against Floyd Mayweather.
You were so happy.
That fight, like, I was, oh man, watching that, it just, I kind of wanted to be a boxer for a little bit. But his defeat, being defeated by Floyd Mayweather, especially him, he was talking so much trash.
That's just who he is.
Yep.
You know? And that is why I wanted Floyd Mayweather to win so bad. He was just talking so much trash. I was like, I hope he put him on his behind.
Right.
All right, so out in Miami, Florida, he was arrested for stealing someone's cell phone. So the reason why they're saying he stole it is because I guess someone on the street, he was coming out of Fountain Blue, Miami Beach around 5 a.m. and he slapped the phone out of like a random person's hand who I guess was just trying to take a picture. The guy wasn't even like, you know, trying to fight him or being hostile. He was just taking his picture like, oh my God, it was Conor McGregor, you know?
Right.
Slaps it out of his hand and then just like stomps on it, like breaks the phone, shatters it. But he picks the phone up and he takes it with him instead of leaving it there broken. So they're saying that he was arrested for stealing someone's phone. So I believe the official charge that he was slapped with was criminal mischief and charged with robbery. Now, criminal mischief just sounds like such a childish crime. Like, that sounds like someone talking to the child, like, getting out of mischief. But, yeah, he was arrested. So, life after a loss, what do you guys think?
So,
this is embarrassing.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about Conor McGregor. If you know me, I'm not a big fan of McGregor. So, Mike, I'm going to just pass it to you on just the accusation on McGregor and the whole phone break-in.
The story, I mean, it's a wild story. But kind of going off your title of Life After Loss, he's just been, things haven't been looking up for him, you know, since the loss to Floyd Mayweather. He's gone through a couple different legal issues. He had that loss to, what's that other fighter's name, Khabib. He had a loss to that guy. It just doesn't seem as if he wants to kind of get back on the right track. Like, he started off as a fighter, right. Pure fighter. And then as his celebrity started to grow, he started getting more in the public eye.
It's his head.
His head started to blow up.
Big.
It started to get really big.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think anybody really felt that he was losing. He was going to defeat Mayweather. On top of that, with him and his head exploding, I don't know if he kind of lost his way in terms of training or trying to be the best MMA fighter he can be and just wanted to focus on being in the media, in the public eye, doing different things. He just lost his way.
After that loss to Floyd Mayweather, it was hard for him to come back from that. He hasn't won a fight in over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys bring up Khabib.
Okay.
Conor McGregor was actually suspended from the UFC for 6 months and fined with a $50,000 fine for a brawl after losing to Khabib.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just spiraling down. You know, I don't think he knows how to handle a loss necessarily. He takes that and he doesn't come back from it. He doesn't better himself. He just, he lets himself go in a way. That's what it looks like to me. What do you think, Marv?
Yeah, Conor McGregor, man, he's a smart guy. He knows what the fans want to see. Mm-hmm. He knew how to market himself. You know, you brought up the Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight. All Conor did was do the same thing Mayweather did to get himself to be Money Mayweather of who he is. Conor McGregor did the same route. It's just he was perceived differently than how Mayweather's perceived. You know, Dana White, president, owner of UFC, really is all behind Conor McGregor. It doesn't matter what he does, what he says, no matter what it is. Still today, Conor McGregor is the face of the UFC. This is a guy, like you mentioned, that just lost to Khabib. Prior to fighting Khabib, he lost to Mayweather in 2017.
Now he's suspended.
And then before that, you know, he had the fights between Nate Diaz where he went 1-1 with that. So this is a guy who has a lot of L's on his record. In the UFC, a couple of losses, you're out.
Yeah.
You're done.
They got up really quick.
Ronda Rousey, look at her. This was the Mike Tyson of the UFC women division. She took that one loss to Holly Holm we don't really see hear from her anymore. John Jones, one of the greatest fighters ever in UFC, he gets in trouble with drugs, he gets suspended, fights, everything like that. It took a big mark on him in how you promote John Jones. If John Jones were to ever lose anytime soon, his value would drop tremendously.
What you're saying is because Conor McGregor's relationship with the president of the UFC, that's why he's sticking around for so long after having so many losses?
He puts a lot of money in the UFC's pocket.
Yes.
Just based on how he acts,
even though he's losing.
Yeah,
and he went. No, don't get me wrong. He's a talented fighter. This is a guy who's taken out champions in less than 15 seconds. So he has. So before, Conor used to talk, and he used to back it up.
He sure did.
Now he's talking, acting up, antics. He's got all this money now, and he's not backing it up. The whole phone situation. Look, I get it. You shouldn't have done it. But we've seen celebrities act like that. They don't honor all his past transgressions and all of what he's done, and now acting up like this. It highlights it even more. And he's not winning. So that's my problem with him. You're not winning.
I just think that if you weren't doing anything, it wasn't like he was taking a picture of you, you know, sniffing coke, doing drugs. Like, you were leaving from Fountain Blue, Miami Beach. Like, you weren't being caught on camera doing something you had no business doing. So for you to react like that and let a situation escalate where now you're getting arrested and you know that you have a career and that you're in the face of the public constantly, I think that was a dumb move. I think that was stupid.
I think I just chalk it up as he had to have been upset about something that took place, maybe inside the club, whatever, something pissed him off. One. And two, I'm assuming McGregor was in there faded. And he was walking out with time. 5 in the morning?
5 in the morning.
He was walking out of there faded. And combination of being faded off the liquor and probably being upset about something that maybe pissed him off.
You think he just took it out on the wrong person?
Yeah, he just took it out on the situation. I mean, there's no like video footage. I don't know if the person with the phone was all up in his face trying to record or something. We don't know. Like, obviously, if the person's from a distance, I don't believe McGregor just ran up to the fan and snatched the phone from him. Maybe the fan was all up in his face, in his personal space, and he felt like he had to react that way. He shouldn't. Obviously, it's not your phone.
Hold on, wait. What fan is going to be up in Conor McGregor's face?
I mean, I'm saying, I don't know the situation.
No way he is a UFC fighter. I'm not going to be in Conor McGregor's face with my camera so he can knock me out.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't make sense. I don't think anybody in their right mind will be in Conor McGregor's face like that. Like, he may have lost a couple of fights, but that don't mean he don't know how to fight. That don't mean he done forgot how to do it.
No,
you know?
McGregor, let's not act crazy. McGregor's
right,
a beast.
Right. I don't think a fan, I don't think, I think
so
that.
So you think he ran up on somebody and snatched their phone?
I think he saw the guy taking the picture.
From a distance.
Not necessarily a distance, but like, if you were, you know, a couple of feet away,
okay,
not a distance, but he saw it clearly, mm-hmm, and probably at arm's reach, took the phone and smashed it. But I don't think the guy was all up in his face, because that just doesn't make sense. That just sounds like you want to get beat up to me. That doesn't make sense.
At the end of the day, I feel like, you know, McGregor will pay his, whatever's going to happen to him, fine, misdemeanor. I don't know the situation. The people that pay him and put money in his pocket, the UFC, I don't think they're going to abandon him after this situation. And McGregor's still going to make money. He's still going to be McGregor. I don't think anything's going to change. You know, this is a guy who, again, he wants to be, in a sense, Floyd Mayweather. You know, how Money Mayweather did his thing. So we'll see how it unfolds, pushing with that guy moving forward.
All right,
but I tell
you, what do you guys think that Conor McGregor needs to do going forward to get his career back on track?
He just needs to win.
After this 6 months of his suspension is up, when he comes back, what do you think his next steps need to be to get back on track?
Win and stop getting in trouble. Simple as that. Like,
Mike's song looks like
that.
Stop getting in trouble. You got his fingers out. You're going to stop getting in trouble. You're going to win these matches.
You know, some people talk about, you know, fights being fixed for fighters to just succeed and get wins. Maybe the UFC, give him some dummy to beat up.
You believe that?
Yeah, I do. I do believe sometimes big name fighters probably face somebody just so they can get a win
boost
or boost their confidence or whatnot. So he needs to get an easy win just to get his confidence back.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Away from the ring, just stop acting up and getting in trouble. Snatch your son. How old are you?
Like, I think he's 30.
That's, come
he's
on, 30. You gotta have more sense than
he's
that.
A grown man.
You gotta
he's
have more.
30.
His mama and daddy
to
bend them over.
What do you think he needs to do next when he comes back from the suspension? Or and beating these Chargers.
I mean,
he'll
beat the Chargers. He'll get, like I said, you said it, 30 years old. Conor McGregor's still a supreme talent. He's going to get big fights again. Come out, win. Stop getting your ass in trouble. Like this, stay focused. Mayweather, you want to be Mayweather. Mayweather talked, backed it up, and evolved, became more mature, and
right.
never lost. So
he can do that, you know.
So there it is.
I think he won that.
All right, hold on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to move on to some big news.
Big news.
I see everybody in the comments
going crazy.
Want to talk about this? We just had to get through Conor McGregor because that's one of our topics that were on the playlist. But we're going to switch gears to football. Odell Beckham Jr. has been traded to the Cleveland Browns. And I don't know about y'all, but me, you know, I'm happy for the Browns in making this move. Because I feel like this team is a great move for them,
okay.
And they're really on the come up. I'm a huge fan of Baker Mayfield. Jarvis Landry's a great wide receiver. Now you add Odell Beckham to the mix. Nick Chubb's over there. I know got some people in the comments going down the list of the guys that the Browns have. This is a team that is not going to look like the sorry, sucky Browns team that we've seen over the last couple of seasons. Add an OBJ to the mix for Baker Mayfield is going to be huge next season. What an acquisition by the Browns. I love it. I really do.
You guys heard the alarm, though.
That's what the alarm was going off. To switch gears. I feel it.
The alarm was going off is because...
Kareem, too. That reminded me.
So, Odell Beckham traded to Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
So I'm about to get the details for you guys right now.
Shout out to the Browns. Wow.
I just had it, but I believe it's the 17th pick in a third round. Yeah, so the Giants get the 17th overall pick in 2019's draft, a third rounder this year, and safety Jabril Peppers.
Wow.
You know, all day they were saying that teams are really pushing for Odell Beckham, the AFC North, and they got him. This is huge. Baker Mayfield,
I love that
Landry,
team, wow.
Odell.
I'm
that
really
team
good.
Is
Y'all
going
like
to talk.
Kids on Christmas right
that
now.
Team's going to talk a lot.
I like
and
that
And they're
team
going
a lot.
To ball out. Mayfield, OBJ, my gosh. That's going to be something. They lost LeBron. Cleveland lost LeBron. But they got a couple superstars
sure
in there
do.
With Baker and Odell Beckham. So this is. This is huge, man.
Let's take
goodness.
It to the comments. What are people saying right now?
I mean, people are really shocked.
We had the
alerts
going off.
That's what the alarm was for.
The siren going off in the comments. People are going crazy right now. Let's see what they have to say. I think we should definitely start from the top, work our way down, because there's a lot of opinions in there.
I mean, just think about the Browns team offensively. That's a very high-powered offense. Like I said before, I'm a huge fan of Baker Mayfield, and I feel like he will be a great quarterback in this league. And to be a great quarterback, obviously, you need weapons to work with. Now he has legit weapons. Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., David Njoku. Then you got Nick Chubb in the backfield. If Kareem Hunt can get his stuff together and be out there, that's a 1-2 punch at running back. That's a scary offense. Very scary. You know, not saying this team, just like that, they're going to snap and be Super Bowl contenders. You know, Baker Mayfield's still a young guy working his way into the league, but you have weapons over there to make some noise in the NFL this upcoming season.
And defensively, the Browns were good defensively.
Solid.
They had that cornerback Ward, who was really good. They had Myles Garrett that was mentioned earlier. He's another beast. And now, Mike, you think of it, the AFC North power has changed. For so long, it was the Pittsburgh Steelers who were on the top of the leaderboard. Now they lost Le'Veon. They lost Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had Antonio Brown, they didn't make the playoffs. Now they lose Antonio Brown. Could we possibly see the tides turning where Cleveland Brown now becomes the top of the AFC North and maybe a force to be reckoned with? But Baker Mayfield showed us a little something in his rookie year.
On paper, best team in the North.
Yes.
Best team in the North right now. You got to pick the Cleveland Browns coming out of the North.
You can make an argument now that that offense is top three offense in the AFC.
I'm telling you, I think the only thing maybe holding it back is just age factor of Baker Mayfield being young, Nick Chubb being young, Kareem Hunt still Kareem a young guy.
Like Mike said, I think they're not just going to come out and be like right away amazing. I think it's definitely going to take time.
That's what happens, it's a big hype
to live up to, you know, so I think just kind of waiting and see. You guys are just all for it. You guys are so...
This is big.
I have a question. So what are you expecting for Odell Beckham to deliver when joining the Browns? Like, what are your expectations right now?
Listen, Eli sucks.
Jordan.
Eli's
so
only
brutal,
rookie.
Marv. He's so
F brutal. F Eli. I'll say it. F him. He sucks. And he's finally going to a quarterback that doesn't suck. OBJ has some incredible numbers, like Randy Moss-like numbers.
With sucky Eli
with
Manning.
A bad quarterback. Now imagine what he's going to do with a decent to maybe good quarterback in Baker Mayfield.
And all the attention is not on him because Jarvis Landry is going to be lined up on the opposite side of the field and has to get attention.
Yeah, Jarvis Landry is Odell-like in a way because he's a slot receiver. He gets, you know, he gets into the slants and all the stuff that OBJ does, but OBJ just does it better. And so
you're expecting him to do everything.
I think he's going to have a year like he's always had, you know. Maybe double digit touchdowns, 1,000 yards. It's going to be a great year from Odell. I'm not going to see no dip. I don't see his numbers skyrocketing, but I think it's going to be consistent to what he's always done, and it's going to lead to winning.
Mike, what are you expecting?
Similar to what Marv said.
Set your expectations now, because I want to look back to this.
Why, you think they're going to suck us up?
No, I don't. I think it's not going to happen right away. That's what I think.
It'll take time. Like I said, Baker Mayfield is a young quarterback. At the end of the day, Odell Beckham, Landry, they can't have success unless Baker Mayfield does a good job getting them the football. And like Marv said, he showed some promise last season, his rookie season. And I feel he's only going to grow and get better and develop. His numbers, he was getting pretty much all the targets in New York. You know, obviously they had, you know, Sterling Shepard and a few other guys that came through, but like, nobody like Jarvis Landry was lining up next to Beckham Jr. in New York. So his stats will be great. He'll have to share some of the wealth with those other guys. I mean, they're going to run the ball a decent amount of times in Cleveland because of the running backs that they have.
That team is so nasty.
They're going to have to get Landry.
I thought of Duke Johnson as well.
Duke Johnson. Oh.
And Joku as a tight end. Like,
so I'm looking at comments right now, and our guy Travis... Cactus Jack Scott says he feels it goes Patriots, Chiefs, Browns, Colts, Texans in terms of AFC power rankings. And you know what?
Wow.
I can't even be mad at that, Travis. I really can't. I really can't because, like I said, on paper right now, even on paper, that team is better than the Patriots on paper. But we just know what the Patriots do every year. But on paper...
Whoa. Mike's bringing up the Patriots.
I'm just saying, on paper, that team...
Talk your talk, Mike.
On that team, in terms of weapons... Look, in terms of Brady, Baker, Mayfield, that's not even a discussion. We already know that Brady is over Baker Mayfield.
Do you see
Mayfield.
The Browns making it to play the Pats?
In the AFC Championship game? Pump the brakes.
Hey, pump the brakes.
I just want to know because you guys, y'all.
We're excited because
the team. Hyping it up right now.
The team is going to be.
If they're going to be that good, can you see it happening? Yes or no?
It'd be shocking.
Not this year.
Why would it be shocking, Marv?
It's still. I like the quarterback play. It still comes down to Baker Mayfield and how good is he going to be? Yes, offensively, they have the weapons. You know, let's see where
they're. I think he's going to be much confident now.
Oh yeah, he's going to. He might have a great year, but it comes. Football's more than just having all the talent. We've seen that over the years. It's more than talent.
You need the mindset.
Exactly. Yeah. You need the coaching. You know, they need to stay healthy. There's a lot of factors that go into it. This just sets up the Browns for greatness for years to come because they're young, All these guys are young. Odell Beckham's, what, 25, young 26 guys. Years old? Like, these are all young guys that are going to, you know, really rule the AFC eventually one day if they keep
that team together.
If they keep it together, which is very hard to do in the NFL.
Yeah, so, sure is.
I'm holding up
to real one comment. Saquon from Sam. Saquon mad as hell right now. Everyone's putting 10 in the box every play. This, I don't know what Giants' plan is going to be going forward here. They got to get a quarterback now.
That's first and foremost.
Whole rebuild mode. You got to get a quarterback.
I'm shocked that they got rid of Beckham doing a sense. Because honestly, that team just needed a quarterback. The Giants were a quarterback away from being a contending team in the NFC. So I figured they'd hold on. They had Saquon. They'd hold on to Odell Beckham Jr., and hopefully draft the quarterback pretty high and hope that they could just shift the reins over to that. But it seems like they're moving forward with a full rebuild, and Saquon's the guy now.
Because you think about it right now, if you were ranking running backs, Saquon, you can make the argument with Todd Gurley. We don't know what the hell happened to him, the ghost of Todd Gurley. But if Saquon, you can rank him number one running back. I'm not mean. I don't know what happened to the guy. He had, like, arthritis or something.
He has arthritis.
The ghost of Todd Gurley. So Saquon, you can make the argument with Ezekiel Elliott and them that Saquon's the number one running back. He's their only weapon. Are you scared of Sterling Shepard and Eli Manning?
Sure.
No. Absolutely not. So you... Already they were having 10 on the box on Saquon. He was still able to do things off the backfield, but it's going to be a lot worse now when you don't have Odell there helping you out with the slants. Giants are done, and it's a beautiful thing to see. It's a really beautiful thing.
Now that Marv has gotten that off that off his chest, Mike, do you want to add any last things?
I can't wait to watch the Cleveland Browns play football. I don't think I've ever said that in my life.
First time for everything.
I think a lot of people for the first time in their lives are saying they're excited to see Cleveland Browns play football. The only thing I wish is that they change their name or their uniform. They got the most generic color uniform. What's their mascot? Like, what?
It's a dog.
Really?
It's a dog.
And their helmet is just brown. And the jersey.
I mean, the names are brown. But they gotta, I would expect.
Yeah, I mean, brown. They gotta add a little.
Call me crazy, Mike. But I would expect. Well,
obviously, but I need something to pop out on the jersey.
The helmet is just brown.
Put the damn dog on the helmet. Listen, then. Let me tell you, dog on the helmet. Something.
Why don't you come up with something?
I'm not coming.
Pitch it to the team.
I watch my mouth on this show. I'm not coming up with anything.
Pitch it. And I bet you, you know, whatever design you come up with, whatever colors you come up with, I bet you they like it.
But I tell you this, you're going to be seeing a lot of brown jerseys now. That Odell Beckham jersey is going to rack up jersey sales.
They're about to sell out for the first time in
a long time. Yeah.
This is good for the NFL, man. Yeah. This is good to see Cleveland finally get up there.
It's always good for a new team that's never really had exposure and limelight to get pushed into the limelight like this. And the Browns,
and it takes a move like that.
People in the comments are roasting the jerseys, and I love
the mascot.
I told y'all the jersey's ugly. Everything about the Browns.
I can't say half the words in these comments, but we agree. We all agree.
You said sherbet orange. I'm crying. Oh my god.
I thought orange was your favorite color.
I'm telling you.
Green's my favorite. Don't disrespect me. Don't disrespect
me. Their logo's a default photo to custom settings.
All right. We got to wrap it up. That was a big, 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 you know, big news that broke out. I'm glad we caught that in the middle of the show.
Shout out to all you guys.
Thank you guys in the comments. Yes. I wish I could read half those words, but just know, sitting here reading it, I agree with you. We got to move on to our last topic of the night.
Yes, yes, yes.
Russell Westbrook.
My guy.
Okay, let's give a quick background of the story. I like Russell.
That's my guy.
I do not.
Favorite player in the NBA.
I do.
Not a fan of the man, but this story right here.
You got his back.
I got you.
Okay, so as we know, so Russell Westbrook, he was accused, he accused a fan of making a racial comment, and it actually didn't happen. So it was a husband and a wife, and what he said is, I'll F him up, and I promise you I'll F him up. You and your wife, I'll F you up. Okay, that was what he said. After the game, he admit he admits that he reacted disrespectfully. Like, he admits he was wrong for saying that. But I think he was acting out of emotion. Because if someone says a racial comment to me, I don't think you necessarily process it correctly. Especially if he's in the middle of a basketball game, you know? And someone says something like that to you, I don't blame him for snapping. Yes, I see where people are coming from when they're saying that he shouldn't be threatening a woman. But I think valid reason for it being like a racial comment made towards him, because that's what a lot of people are saying, is that because he threatened the husband and the wife and not just the husband. But if the wife is sitting there, you know, egging it on with her husband, of course he's going to address them both.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing about this story is literally there are two separate sides to the story. Russell Westbrook said X, Y, and Z happened, and then the guy who they interviewed, the fan, said, these comments are wild right now. The fan said A, B, and C happened. So two completely different sides. And as the story really unfolded, you know, the fact that the NBA did their research, the Utah Jazz did their research, you know, they came out and they officially gave a lifetime ban to the fan.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you how, and I was having this conversation earlier today, fans, the players in any sport have to put up with a lot of BS from fans sometimes.
You
whether it's basketball, football, baseball.
Being in the limelight, being out in the public eye, you have to be ready to take in all that ridicule and everyone's opinions and comments. It's frustrating.
Utah Jazz... this is not news.
In Utah,
this is not news. They are notoriously known for having racist, whack-ass fans. And it's been happening.
I'm ready.
I'm ready. This is my guy.
And so, you know what, Marv? This is not Russell's first time getting into Utah Jazz fans.
I was just about to bring that up. You know, last year in the playoffs, he got into it with fans recording him. And that became a news. And a lot of... when that happened last year, you know, a lot of players came into Russ's defense. I remember it was Matt Barnes. He went on Colin Cowherd's show and said so many times while he was playing. He said there was so much N-words and there were black people living in Utah Jazz. That's how many times he said it. And the year before that, Kevin Durant, when they had the playoff series, he got into it with Utah fans, you know, them calling him the P-word and things like that. So the fans are notorious.
We can't say it on the show.
Don't ask too many questions, bro.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say the P word. I think everyone knew what I was talking about.
Nobody knew what the P word was.
He didn't have to repeat it for me to know.
You, I think, just like him. That's why.
Nobody knows what the P word is. I'm so sorry. Anyway, they called Durant that, and he responded as such. So they are notoriously known for being, you know, racist. I just saw a thing just this week where a Utah teacher wiped off Ash Wednesday off of some kid's face, and it became public news. Like, they're just known for doing wild stuff. All I know is I'm an NBA player. This one team I do not want to play for is the Utah Jazz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's please don't bring me there. Donovan Mitchell, player for the Utah Jazz, actually brought out a statement saying, you know, he's saddened by what happened, and you know he got Russell Westbrook's back, but he's gonna do more to, you know, change the perception and culture of the Utah fans.
I'm looking at comments here, and our guy Czar is really, you know, saying what Westbrook did is unnecessary because at the end of the day he's working. And because he's at work, and how the fans act, you know, people in the stands, this are his words, people in the stands are going to be people in the stands, and you have to let stuff go. You know, soccer players deal with crazier fans and maintain their composure. It's tough. Like, I hear you, but it's really tough It's one thing if you're a player and you keep constantly hear someone just say, you suck, oh, you can't shoot, or you're not
that's
good.
Expected.
But it's another thing when you say something about a man's wife or something about a man's parents or something about a man's kids, his family.
Get on your knees like you're
get
used
on
to.
Your knees. It's one thing to hear fans say stuff and just be like, all right, whatever. Fans say I suck, whatever, I'm going to keep playing. But it's another thing to hear fans constantly bring up your family and disrespect that. That's when it crossed the line, and it honestly doesn't matter if you're a player making millions of dollars in the league or what. If you hear another human being, at the end of the day, forget the money, forget the jersey and all of that. We're human beings on this earth together bleeding the same blood. You gonna hear another man or woman disrespect your family, your kids, it crosses a line that you have to speak up for.
Preach, man.
That's it. That's
go ahead.
It.
Preach.
That's it. I mean, it's just amen. Crazy for me to think about how people just say, let it go. Like, you can only let so much go. Yes, turn the other cheek is something that people use all the time. And I'm not saying don't turn the cheek and really jump in the fans and fight, but it comes to a point as a person, you gotta say, look, I'm not going to tolerate what you're saying to me. Please shut the hell up and then sit down and enjoy the game something. I'm not saying fight him. Right. Throw something out. Not Malice in the Palace Part 2. I know I saw that in the comments. But you got to be able to, you know, stand your ground and say, like, please, I'm not going to tolerate that. Security, come get this person or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I think his reaction is really understandable. I think that's what it is. I don't think it was right. I think him being a professional NBA player, he should have, you know, definitely done something differently, especially when it comes to threatening a woman. I get why that is so bad when he said, I'll F you and your wife. You know, I get it. Yeah. I get it. But in that moment, in the middle of the game, and the emotion that comes over you when you're hearing things like this, especially when it comes to racial comments, and especially with everything that goes on today, I think it's understandable for how he reacted. Do I think he crossed a line? Not necessarily.
He didn't touch nobody.
He did. He did not touch anybody. People say things that they're not going to do and that they don't mean all the time out of frustration. We get mad, we say things we don't mean all the time. Mm-hmm. It happens. And I think that people forget that these stars are still human. They're not stars. They're not perfect. You know, they do things that regular humans like you, myself, our parents, everyone does. Everyone makes mistakes. We all say things out of anger. And I think that people are treating it as like, he's not human. Like, he has to live up to a certain standard, and not everyone's going to be perfect.
Westbrook gets targeted. You know, obviously fans know if there's one person that can get under skin is Westbrook, and he, as a player, he needs to understand that himself. That being said, Sam brought it up. You talk about family, kids, anything like that. You're going to get these hands. You're going to get this work. And Westbrook was serious. I would have loved if he never said, I'll F up the women, obviously. Yeah. He apologized for that. He didn't, obviously didn't mean to say, but another comment, Sean said, she can get this work, she can get this work too. She needs to get what he's pretty much
and
saying
that's
is,
another thing.
She needs to get spoken to as well, just
that's
because
right.
she's a woman.
I think, and that is the problem, is that as women, you know, we have this mentality, a man, you know, can never put his hands on me, you know, he can't touch me. But if you are hitting a man and you're egging on a man and you know he can't do nothing, but he can sure enough say
that's
something.
That's a whole conversation right
you
there.
Know?
Woo.
Because if he can't necessarily put his hands on you, you best believe he's going to say something like so his words can hurt you. You
I
know?
Mean, exactly. So what you're saying, would you rather Westbrook, say a fight did break out because the man
and
the woman, would
her.
You rather Westbrook go in the stands and maybe say, like Sam said, give a quick Stone Cold Stunner or something? Or would you rather just Westbrook say, hey, you and your wife shut the F up? Like, what would you rather? Yes, you don't want Westbrook to put his hands on
the woman. I think he
could have
told them both to shut the F up, but I don't think that he should have said that you can get it to her. I think he just should have said that part to the husband. Mm. You know,
but she was supposedly talking too.
Yeah, of course. Of course she was.
So that's why he kind of directed it to both. I'll mess up you and your wife.
I would have been like, both of y'all shut the F up. You going to see your husband get beat up, and you better shut your mouth. You know? If he could have just took that 3 seconds to think and to himself and say, hey, let me not threaten a woman. Let me not threaten this
heat
ignorant
of the moment,
lady
man.
With
it's
him.
Tough.
That's what I'm saying. It definitely wasn't heat in the moment. It definitely was.
There's a comment I want to speak on that got my attention. Travis said, it pisses me off when people call Boston Celtics fans racist when other fan bases are way worse.
That's true.
No, it's not true. I think
other fan bases are worse than
it doesn't matter.
What's worse? It's still happening.
Racism.
Neither of it is right.
No, what I'm trying to say is, if there's three people being racist in one room and 10 people being racist in the other, they're both racist. Are you going to say, oh, they're way worse than the other room, so I'm going to hang out? No. What's wrong is wrong. Call a spade a spade. It doesn't matter if someone's way worse.
But
way
I don't think he meant it that way. I think what he meant is that the level of, you know, aggression, like, for instance, at the Utah Jazz games, like, they were front row. You know, like they're
that
really close
to be
players,
talking back
you know?
And forth. Right. Yeah.
They're at a distance where they can potentially get into it with the players.
Okay.
I feel like here with the Boston Celtics, the chatter walking around this. I don't think it's as close to the NBA players as it is with the Utah Jazz.
I disagree. Real quick question, Mike. If this same story had happened in Boston, would you have been shocked?
No, absolutely not, because we've heard this story before.
Exactly. And
why
that's
didn't
why
you ask me? I wouldn't have been shocked either.
Because you just
why
said you disagree. Because you just
disagree. Is it because I'm a woman, Marv? Is it because I'm a woman?
Have mercy. You disagreed with my point.
No,
so I said,
I'm
going to get back
point.
To you and
you
let me ask
Mike. I would have not been shocked.
Okay, so you wouldn't. So if you wouldn't have been shocked, you kind of flipped your point on
no,
me.
No, I
but,
didn't.
But I'm going to say
I'm
this.
I'm saying that I don't think he meant it the way that you're explaining it.
I think he meant it the way I'm explaining.
Okay,
and if not, he can, you know, he's gonna go in the comments and explain himself. What I'm saying is,
he did respond to you.
Okay, perfect. I'll read it in a second. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter what spot is racist more, which is like Mike just said, and you agree with as well. If it happened in Boston, none of us would have been shocked. None of us would have batted an eye. So I just want to comment on that subject, pretty much saying, look. It doesn't matter which fan base is way worse, which area is getting more media attention about being racist. The reason why we love that Westbrook did all this is because it brought a light up to it. Mm-hmm. Now we can have this conversation on the shows like this and bring up, and now Donovan Mitchell can, you know, talk to his fans and bring up conversation on ways we can
be better.
And how do you think that would happen?
How do I think what would happen?
Like, ways to be better. What do you think ways you think maybe they can be better?
Address it. Like, mm-hmm. Players come out at the beginning of games sometimes.
Because these fans got banned for life, right?
As they should. I think any fan that shows up to enjoy, you're being entertained. Basketball players are on the court playing the game they love, but at the end of the day, it's a form of entertainment. And if you're showing up to someone's place of work who is entertaining you, and you really can't sit there and be quiet, like, again, yes, you can say boo, oh, you guys stink,
yeah.
Whatever the case may be. But when you cross that line and you're going above and beyond, you know, that's when it becomes a huge issue. And, you know, to answer that question of what can be done, Donovan Mitchell, if he's really serious about this and knowing the history of the Utah Jazz and how they've treated players that step into that arena, the beginning of the game, because, you know, the team came out after they banned the fans to say, we as a team don't tolerate this. This is why the players getting banned, whatever the case may be. Take the microphone in front of the game, the PA mic, the PA system in the state, in the arena, and say, look, as fans, you come to the game. You know, he can say it in a much more proper way than I'm about to explain it, but please, just sit down and shut up. Don't say nothing to the players. Enjoy the game and the entertainment that we're putting on and the basketball. If you can't do that, watch the game from your couch at home. Plain and simple.
True.
Simple as that. I mean, obviously, again, he'll say it in a much more respectful, I'm not saying I'm being disrespectful, but he'll say it in a much more, you know, way that'll get across to the fans to really understand.
I have a question. Do you think that... I just lost my question.
All right, so while you think of your question, I'm going to respond to Travis. He said that... Just because I'm a Celtics fan doesn't mean I'm a racist. Everyone thinks because I'm a Celtics fan doesn't mean I'm a racist. Look, I get it. Obviously, as a Celtics fan, you don't want that label.
Boston fans are racist.
So you don't want to have that label as racist. And a way to change that is, like Mike was saying, you know, have these conversations or You didn't see no one in the Utah section stopping that dude talking to Westbrook like that or anything, you know?
Right.
Having people stop what's going on.
Mark, you brought up a really good point. I didn't even think of that. There were people sitting there.
You know, I bring up good points. All right. There.
This is what happens when you give a person the compliment. They don't know how to act.
I'm just saying.
What my question was is, with all this going on, where and when do you consider it, like Mike was bringing up, like, harassment, like, to the point where they have to get banned? Where do you draw that line from being a fan and harassing the players?
Once it's not about sports.
Disrespectful to things that are, exactly, when if it's not about sports. Once you start disrespecting a man's personal life, family, whatever the case may be, that's when you cross the line. If you're going to be mad at a player or boo him or whatever, keep it about the game and about the sport.
That's it.
You can't shoot. You can't dribble. That pass sucked. Something. Keep it about basketball. At the end of the day, these
their
fans...
Their family has nothing to do with it.
Not even their family. Their fans don't know these players personally. You're just going to... Like, I don't... against what you guys said, I'm not a fan of Westbrook, but that's not because I know him personally.
That's
you know,
game.
I talk about... I mean, his game is good, but the way he comes off on the court, obviously, people don't like certain players and how they portray themselves on the court or not. But I never take it across if I don't like Westbrook because I think he's a bad husband or a bad father or he's not a good son to his parent. Like, I don't know that. And I don't. That's not my business. I don't know the man like that. If you're a fan that comes to the game and wants to take it to that level, that's when you cross that line you were just talking about of harassment, disrespect.
I agree. Mar, do you want to add on to that?
I agree with everything you said. Once you take it out of sports... And you
that's
start.
Where it becomes that's harassment.
That because you're a fan. You can.
And that's where
you're
you
here to
get
root.
Banned.
Yeah, you here to root or root against, which
you
is perfectly.
Root or boo.
That's it. Root or boo.
Root or boo.
I like
root
that.
That's gonna be the new word.
I like that.
This comment section.
Anything you want to bring up, Bob?
Is you know, off the chain right now. So much stuff is. I'm reading a lot. If you see something that pops out to you, I'm just happy that you know we can have these conversations. With us, with you know, the audience, the viewers who are watching, you know, it's a great conversation to have, and I always look forward to talking with you guys and reading the comments.
I think these conversations are healthy. I think it's important to get everyone's opinions and thoughts out there, just to let you know people know that they're not alone when things like this happen. I know stuff like this, like we said, it happens all the time. Like it's no secret. That's why we're getting to this whole heated discussion about you know Celtics fans being racist and Utah Jazz fans being racist.
Do you feel Celtics fans are racist?
I
because I'm Boston fan.
It's not Celtics.
You've
never heard stories about fans in Boston.
I just feel like fans in general get crazy. Like you have like the extreme fans.
Fans everywhere
get crazy.
The moderate
fans, and then you got fans like me who are there to support their team.
So to answer Sean's question or his comment, you know he's never heard of Celtics fans being problematic. Again, it's not a label of Celtics fans. I think when
Boston
you think of Boston fans, it spreads out to every sport. A Boston fan is a Celtic, Patriot, Red Sox, Bruins fan. And just falling under that umbrella because they have the issues. And yes, maybe it's not really a huge issue because yeah, me personally, I've never heard of a player being upset with what Celtics fans at the TD Garden are saying. All the stories mainly come out of the Red Sox, and that's just the honest truth. You always hear about, you know, opposing players on teams complaining
and
about...
And the 80s Celtics.
And the 80s Celtics, sure.
You know what? I do hear a lot with, like, hockey and the Bruins. I've heard, like, a little bit where I...
But not too much of the Celtics,
that's
yes.
That's where I hear it
But
the
I
most.
Think, again, they all fall under the umbrella of just Boston fans, which is why Boston has this label of being, you know, a racist sports city.
I hear.
Real quick, before we wrap this up, you brought up the when is it good to draw the line, when not to draw the line, right?
Right. Between harassment and being a fan.
Winston brought up something when he brought up Dolan's banned a fan for saying sell the team. So this is another situation that happened, I believe, last week. James Dolan, the owner of the New York Knicks,
mm-hmm.
was walking out. He's trash, by the way. I'm going to put it
the
out.
Owner?
Mark
the owner.
Is so harsh
he's,
tonight.
No,
who
he's
made
trash.
You mad today?
He's trash. No, I'm having
who
a great day. The sun is out and everything. It's ridiculous. Listen. You're going to say he's trash, too.
Let me hear.
The Knicks suck, right? They've sucked for like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I was born, I've never seen a good Knicks team. Anyway, so he's walking. He was walking out the arena, and some fan just yelled, "Sell the team!"
Mm-hmm.
Meaning he's a trash owner. Sell the team.
Didn't disrespect his family or nothing.
Didn't say nothing else. He just said, sell the team. He comes back and says, "What? Wait, what did you say? Huh? Hey, get out. Hey, enjoy watching the team from your TV. That's on your TV or something.
See, that's abuse of power.
That's it.
Exactly.
That's not crossing the line.
That's not the game.
Abuse of power is the exact words right there.
That's not right. That is not right.
And I mean, it can't even be reversed because at the end of the day, he owns the team, the arena, and it sucks.
You're trash.
Because he did not cross the line. Saying something like that, that's just a fan. It's equivalent to booing us or saying we want you traded
or
something.
That's expressing an opinion. If I don't think you're a good boss, that's my opinion.
What he should have done is thanked him. Thank you for coming, because my team sucks. The fact that he paid his money to come watch you guys, he should have been like, thank you, because I wouldn't pay to watch this team. That's what he should have done. He should have gave him season passes, season tickets for being a fan. Man. But hey, man.
Mike was on fire today. I don't know what has gone into him, but we do need to wrap it up.
Let's put a bow on this right here.
Let's just wrap this up. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I wish we can go through all your comments, but as you know, we're out of time.
Very appreciative.
Today, we had some heavy topics. We had breaking news pop out for the first time on Double M Media. Right, we need to make sure we write this down for, you know, an anniversary or anything like that. But make sure you guys tune in next week, Tuesday, 7:45, sometimes 8 p.m. Tune in live.
Why is it sometimes 8 p.m.?
I don't know, because Mike's always late.
Mike! Sorry, I'll be waiting for a ride from a good friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
But Marv, for fans who don't know, for the audience that doesn't know, where can they find us at?
Name them all. Ready, set, go.
You can find us on Instagram. That's @M_Media.
Yep.
You can find us on Twitter at @MMedia. You can find us on Facebook, @MMedia. Mm-hmm. Also, you can find us on the YouTube, @MMedia. Also, subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Spotify, subscribe on Google Play. We are everywhere, especially on iTunes. Write a review for us, so you know, because we're trying to continue this thing going. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. This is Mike Nice, the lovely T-Matt. I'm DJ Meez. You are watching the Double M Show, where the urban life and sports collab. Thank you guys for coming through. And we'll see you guys next week. Catch the show Wednesday morning.